Well, after spending 7 weeks wayfaring outside the sanctuary and alongside one another's stories, we find ourselves returning again to this sacred space. And I gotta say, it's good to be back, to feel at home, nested, secure, and welcomed into a worship space that has stood at this very corner for 155 years and counting. A worship space that has held more lives and stories and moments of transformation than we could even begin to wrap our minds around. And as fate, God, life would have it, it turns out we're back just in time for the lectionary to send us flailing feet first into another journey. And not just any journey, but the most epic journey of all epic journeys in Scripture. The one in which an ancient people enslaved in Egypt are called by an intimate but still unfamiliar God to cross a sea, to live on manna, to wander in the desert, and somehow make it out thriving and alive as a constituted, whole congregation. And even as I speak, as we just prayed about, people find themselves displaced by natural disasters all over North America, in Montana, Mexico, Florida, Texas, the Caribbean islands, in Nigeria, in Sierra Leone, and reminding us of this constant, ever-present tension between displacement and home. In this morning's story, we hear God say to some guy named Moses, I call him some guy named Moses because he isn't really anybody of significance to the enslaved Israelites, at least not yet. God says, tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family. God then outlines a particularly curious set of instructions about how to ensure their safety in a land that has perpetually disregarded their safety. You heard Amy read it this morning. But it's the start of this story that I find so interesting, perplexing even. Why would God call these dispossessed and dispersed people the whole congregation? It doesn't seem like there's very much that's whole or coherent or unified about them at all. They are displaced, enslaved, unclaimed, at a severe economic and social disadvantage, unable to own property, unable to build institutions, unable to pass along traditions and practices in any kind of consistent or coherent way, sort of. So what is so significant about God calling these people the whole congregation? What's so significant about God naming this unformed, fledgling group as the people of God, as the people that God wants to walk with, bind herself with, grow intimate and old with, journey with, become the whole congregation with, together? And how does it shape a fledgling people's individual and communal identity to hear themselves called whole, when all the common markers that would label them whole, successful, or put together are not the markers that currently define them? So now that Sally and I have been here 6 months, that's half a year, by the way, just throwing that out there, Yeah. We find ourselves churning over the list that we know full well, those of you who've been here any kind of season have been churning over for a number of years now. Things like, so how do we ensure the longevity of this place when there are so many moving puzzle pieces? And what are we going to do about the plaster coming off the walls and the brick that needs repointing? And does the rest of the world beyond these doors even know how to make sense of what a multicultural, multiracial, multi-ethnic, progressive Christian church pastored by a lesbian married couple really is? It's easy to see plaster coming off the walls, which of course I'm not supposed to tell you is there. To see pews unfilled, to carry like dead weight our vision still unformed, possibilities still unlived, journeys still not taken, to see and call ourselves incomplete, disjointed, not whole, not enough for God to claim as her own. And please don't get me wrong. I know I would be a pretty terrible theologian if I equated our challenges here at Calvary with the wrenching difficulties that an enslaved, dispossessed people in Egypt faced. Repointing the brick in the sanctuary and no longer being held under the oppressive grip of an empire are definitely not the same thing, to make the understatement of the century today. But I tell you this. Some days doing this progressive church thing, rooted in the threads that guide us, like liberation theology, social gospel, and an inclusive image of God in a country whose overarching and historic religious identity has been exclusive, colonially driven, toxic, and dangerously vapid, well, it sure can feel like a wilderness out there sometimes. It sure can feel like the decisions we've been made to stand on and the decisions where we have stood on as a people have left us dried up and vulnerable to an uncertain future. We are no enslaved people oppressed by a violent empire. Sort of. But we are a congregation rooted in commitments that leave us vulnerable to and resistant to powers and principalities. That is, if we're doing it right. And even if we fill all these pews again and shore up all our financial reserves for the next 200 years, we still ought to be just as vulnerable and resistant to the powers and principalities. That is, if we are doing it right. So I gotta say, as upside down as this may sound, I think it's liberating to understand ourselves as already made whole in God's image. Invited over and over again to simply accept that gift and grace, to live into that reality with our hurting, wandering, thriving selves. And see what God has in store, not in spite of, but because of that becomingness. What if we really saw ourselves the way God sees us? Try that again. What if we really saw ourselves the way God sees us? Maybe there are too many wounds about how we think God sees us to even know how to answer that question. One more time. What if we really saw ourselves the way God sees us? What if we saw our fledgling, failing, formative efforts to be church as God's story of our wholeness as a church? What if our concerted, intentional efforts to be made whole are what actually make us whole? So for the next 2 months, we are going to journey again with an ancient, timeless people who God has already called whole. These next 2 months, we will spend time walking with the people Israel as they become what God has already claimed them to be. And interspersed throughout these 2 months, we'll talk about stewardship. We'll talk about what it means to tend this place and each other well. To love the whole congregation we've been given to share life with at Calvary Baptist Church. And if you think that that means 2 months of hammering you to give more money, I hope you've learned enough about us to know that that's too easy and too narrow a story to tell. This is a different kind of journey than the one we've been on these last couple of months in Unplugged. It's more internal, contemplative, communal. It's the kind of journey that invites us to imagine what kind of people God has already claimed us to be. It's the kind of journey that invites us to see with new eyes what God has already claimed as whole about us here at Calvary. And then to live into that energy and possibility with our full, vibrant, whole selves. It's the kind of journey that calls for honesty about our wounds, about our fears, about our anxieties, about our uncertainties going forward. We don't know how to pay all the bills. We don't know where this place will be in 50, 100, 200 years. We don't know if progressive churches are tangibly transforming the religious landscape in a country mired by bad theology and colonial tendencies. We don't know how any of this is going to work out in the end. There's a hopeful word from your pastor. But what might God be claiming us to be? What has God already claimed us to be? How might we hear her call us the whole congregation? Whether we think we are or not. How can we shape our identity not around any one prophet, whether it be Moses or Sally, or Elijah, or Erica, or me, or anyone else, and instead hear our identity as communal, as collective, as whole? What would happen if we saw ourselves, if we saw this place, the way God sees us? Even as this people are living into this whole congregation identity, before they are yet the people Israel, we hear God tending the ones among them who think they don't have enough. God says, if a household is too small for a lamb, if its resources don't give it enough for a lamb, God says, you shall join your closest neighbor in obtaining one. And Jesus says, if two or three or more are gathered in my name, that's more than enough to make us whole. Everybody loves a viral meme quote that may or not be true, right? I mean, we live on those. So here's one from an anonymous, whatever that means, six-year-old floating around on Facebook these days. My teacher thought I was smarter than I was, so I was. May this journey with an ancient people telling us a timeless story stir in our hearts the desire and fortitude to proclaim together, my God thought I was more whole than I was. So I was. Amen.